If you are into sustainability and cannabis, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Benjamin Douglas Ray, the creator and host of Sustainable Cannabis TV, a daily 30-minute interview show focused on sustainable practices within the cannabis industry. Sustainable Cannabis TV is designed to give listeners in-depth insights, knowledge, and stories of industry professionals who are positive impacting the world and making a difference. This show is brought to you by my line of organic hemp CBD products called 8 Saints Brand. THC-free creams, balms, and tinctures to ease joint pain, reduce anxiety, and help you sleep better. Check them out at 8saintsbrand.com. It's Benjamin Douglas Ray with another edition of Sustainable Cannabis TV. Today I'm here with Daniel Eddy. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I really appreciate you jumping on the call here. And it's an honor to have you here. You know, I have to say, we met at a trade show. And if you look back to episode 10, where I was interviewing Terry Donnelly, he was there as well last year, a trade show up in Toronto. And it was the strangest trade show that I've ever been to. You know, for your viewers out there, I mean, it was a three-day trade show. The first day, the staff didn't show up for the trade show. So all the exhibitors were setting up and we were all helping and they never showed up. So there were very limited amounts of people who attended the show. But what ended up happening is I was able to make some really good connections and relationships, because as opposed to many trade shows where you're overwhelmed just walking around to different booths, I was able to actually talk to a lot of people. So we spent a couple of days talking about cannabis, business development, what you're up to with your Cannabis Vapor magazine and your Cannabinerd magazine. Yeah. And that's what I'd love to talk to you about today. So welcome.
I appreciate the invite, Benjamin. That show was extremely unorthodox. 3 days and probably three customers through the whole show. Right. But like you said, you know, I always try to look at the glass half full or find a silver lining in all negative situations. And like you said, the one thing that we as the business owners who are paying to be there actually really got to do, and I think that was the intent for a lot of the business owners at the show, was to be able to B2B network as opposed to attract in as many customers as they can, right? The Canadian Cannabis Business Expo, right? So it's the opportunity for B2B interaction was incredible. I've never been to a show where I was able to spend so much quality time with business owners face to face. It was amazing that way.
It was definitely worth going specifically for that reason. So tell us where you are now and what these magazines are about.
Well, I live in Sudbury, Ontario. It's about 4 hours north of Toronto. I've been here for about 8 years and in business for the last six. I started in the vaping industry with a wire and coil company called Chuck and Canucks that has since passed. It was time to get it off the books last year. The vaping market has changed so much that my products were literally pushed right off the shelf. That evolved into, the first online magazine ever created for the vaping industry, which was called eClouds. A year later, eClouds evolved into Canadian Vapor Magazine. Significantly enough, a year after that, after Canadian regulations and everything had passed, Cannabinerd magazine came to fruition as well. It was just a smart thing to do. And over the last year of running Quantum Link Media, or rather Cannabinerd magazine and Canadian Vapor magazine, I was forced by banking issues to house them under a media company, which I've called Quantum Link Media. That's really become a serious proponent in helping businesses develop in these new markets. I'm the type of business owner where I should be focusing on myself. A lot of people say, you got to focus on yourself. You got to focus on your business. You got to grow. But I find more fulfillment and more success when I'm helping the people around me grow. And my success, I look at as a byproduct of that.
It's a great way to approach business. A lot of people don't learn that even after 40 years of business. So I think you're on your way. I mean, if you can serve your customers specifically in niche markets, which we'll talk about later, you're going to do great, you know, building that out. So tell me about these relationships. You know, we talked about the value of that B2B relationship, but I know that that's something that's very strong with you, is just building relationships, quality relationships. So how do you go about that in your biz dev efforts and also in terms of your current customers or advertising customers that you have?
Well, I kind of operate on a base philosophy of rising tides lifts all boats. You know, if I am successful in any aspect of business or helping another business develop, I'm not successful without effort coming in from my team, and even effort coming in from the clients and from the businesses that I'm working with. So there's no one real person that gets to take the credit, right? Mm-hmm. And what I find in business is when you have that one person that wants to take the credit, that's where the root of the breakdown happens. That's where self-service comes into play versus service to others. When I was owning my own product, I was really focused on sales numbers, you know, marketing targets, sales targets, and I forgot that there was a whole group of people around me, promoters, you know, customers that just really loved my product. Mm-hmm. and me, because I was the face of it, you know, I got to interact with a lot of these people all the time. And, but I wasn't focusing on helping them. Mm. And once I started focusing on helping them, I became more successful, had more accolades success than I had ever experienced before.
I mean, it seems like that in anything that you do, that when you've set your focus on how to serve your customers and how to help them, whatever that is, easing pain, getting their message out, whatever that is, that's when your business grows. I mean, it's a little bit counterintuitive thinking like, I'm not going to think about how I'm going to grow this. I'm going to think about how I'm going to grow a better life for my customers, their business, whatever that is. And it definitely comes back to you. So that's a great way to start, and I appreciate you explaining that more. Well, let's talk about the relationships and kind of the consulting you do, or at least when people come to you about kind of their messaging. Because, you know, as you and I talked last year and throughout the year, it's kind of like there are a lot of these companies that get into the cannabis business and they have no idea who they are or what they want to be. They're just like, I want to get into this business. I want to make a lot of money. Let's go. But then there's this messaging problem, really, of defining who they are. So talk to me about that.
Well, it comes down to what I call the I's and M's. You know, I get approached by companies hourly, you know, about, hey, if we send you our product, can you do a nice review in your magazine? And my response often to them is, well, what's the message you want to send to my readers? And then they kind of recoil a bit. And that, it's a perfect transition point to talk about relationships, because a lot of the time they'll call me and they'll, actually some people that even work for me have called me and said, hey, can I advertise with you? I go over and I look at their website and I'm like, if I took your money right now for you to advertise with me, I would feel horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Your website isn't ready for you. You're not going to be able to convert customers on your website and make the money back that you're paying me to generate those sales. So then we take a step back and start at the I's and M's, which is their idea versus their identity. So a lot of people don't know the difference. A lot of the new business owners that are coming in that don't have years of entrepreneurial background, they've got a great idea. They have it visualized, they're focused, they're acting in direction of their idea, but they don't know what their identity is. They don't know how to represent themselves or their product or their brand.
So how do you walk them through that, or what's your process for getting them to understand that?
Well, that's where the M's come in, right? Who are you trying to reach, and what are you trying to tell them? What's your message, and who is your market, right? And even that question really kind of puts business owners back, and they're like, well, all dollars are green, aren't they? We want to deal in retail. We want to deal in, you know, so it's, you know, there's this really kind of misguided, they're focused and they're determined, but their compass is going in circles, or it's not pointing to their true north. And I find if you're dealing with the right people that really want to find that direction, right? You can really kind of separate the cream from the crop by asking them these direct questions and knowing if they're serious by whether they actually want to answer it or not. Hmm. You know, it's in this point, like I said, with all the new companies coming in, it's a flip of a coin. You know, do you want to sell a million units of your product this year? Right. Well, yeah, I always want to. Okay, what's your game? What's your game plan? What's your plan of attack? Where are you planning on opening cash registers to make that money? Or who are you planning on selling to that has open cash registers that's going to pay you in on wholesale? You know, I'm dealing with a company right now, a large manufacturing company that's in this the cannabis production, a farm. They'll remain anonymous right now, but they call me, or I call them, say, hey, you know, are you looking to promote your brand or really market to a particular, you know, set of consumers? And they couldn't give me a really good answer. You know, I go to their website and it's talking about, you know, thousands of kilograms of yield in a year and so on and so forth. Their message is like they want to wholesale to a distribution supplier.
So right?
Get rid of all of it.
We were talking at the beginning, it's all about them. Like we were talking about with your business. So you run into a lot of companies that just talk about me, me, me. This is what we have. We have this many acres, you know, of grow. We've got this capability, these many strains, whatever it is. But that doesn't do anything for the customer necessarily to help the customer understand really what they're about.
And coming back to the relationship part of that, you know, on their website, right? When I'm looking through their website, it goes through the list of saying that they've developed all of these new construction, you know, partnerships to be able to keep developing into the future and keep their facilities updated and so on. And again, what I've learned, I'm better at promoting other people in my experience, or at least the way that I feel about myself, is that I'm way better at convincing you of somebody else's theory or product or brand that you should get into it than I would be about convincing you to get into mine. So what's the solution there? A lot of people don't want to listen to you talk about you. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about themselves.
Yeah, it's pretty typical, I'd say, in any business for sure.
Right. Oh, what's the number one thing people want to talk about? Themselves. Yeah. So
what is that thing where you say, like, like if we're having a conversation and I'm talking a lot and I say, hey, well, enough about me. What do you think about me? You know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like, you know, no, ask your customer, ask them open-ended questions, get to learn about their business more, and then help guide them to, you know, providing answers to you so that you can actually help them, you know, create a good advertising, a good placement that's actually going to drive business to them. Not about driving business to the magazines. It's about driving business to them and helping them grow.
But I find that the first step is always putting those questions in front of them, mm-hmm. right? And help and guiding them through the answers to those questions is where that relationship building starts. Right. I'm not sitting here billing you for this consultation. I'm invested in trying to help you figure out what your identity is versus your idea and what your message is versus your market, right? These are they're the two most important things to identify. And when you focus more on helping them develop that than you do on sending them a bill, that is the seed that sprouts into a nice relationship.
Well, yeah, because then you're going to value all the way around. You're not only helping them, but they're helping you, because then they can do a placement and you can write business to them, you know, so it provides that.
Well, eventually, yeah, once we get there, you know what I mean? So my development train is backwards to my workflow train, right? I had to get to the point of developing Quantum Link Media to be at the point where people were calling me to help them develop their brands and stuff like that. It took a long time of people seeing my own brands develop and grow. So, when the relationship starts to grow, that's when, rather than still focusing on me, you focus on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the person on the other side focuses on the relationship, and they may have, and then they're going to promote that relationship outwards, creating more positive ripples to come back inwards, and so on and so forth. And that's where it falls back to rising tides lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a business opportunity comes my way, I have about 11 or 12 phone calls to make, because, you know, I have to speak to this person about this aspect of the project and this person about that aspect of the project. And, you know, I may even want to call a sounding board, somebody who manages way larger sums of money than I do, just mm-hmm. so that I'm not being blinded by dollar signs or making, you know, naive business calls.
I want to ask about the niche value of your publications. You know, as it's kind of counterintuitive, you know, like a lot of companies say, like, you know, when you're talking about the message, like, well, I want to provide every service to everybody and be all things to all people. But we know that the more focused you are with your message and your niche, the more that audience is going to grow, and consequently you'll sell more products. So explain to me about the value that you see in niche for your publications.
Well, going back to eCloud / Canadian Vapor, I mean, these are markets where you can't advertise on Facebook, you can't advertise on Instagram, they won't take your money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely difficult for a new small brand to get the exposure, especially in Canada. I mean, you guys are based down in the States. There's 10 times the population in the US than there is in Canada. You know what I mean? And that's a big hurdle for businesses from the US that want to market their product into Canada. And they call up to distributors and manufacturers for pricing and negotiation terms. And it's just complete apples and oranges, you know, north and south of the border.
This was just the value of the niche products.
Value of the niche products. So when I started the magazines, it was virtually the only place that anybody could get paid advertising online.
Hmm.
And there was a few print magazines that tried to transition into digital.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have been successful, relatively successful. Some of them have transitioned their model into expo type platforms where they're, instead of selling ads, they're selling booths. You know what I mean? It's a very common transition for media companies to make. Just hope that there's enough expo markets and cities to hold them in. But it served that one need for businesses that wanted to do paid, you know, broad spectrum marketing to be able to get the word out to the market that they're looking at. Nobody's coming to a vaping magazine who doesn't vape unless they're interested in vaping, in which case they are kind of your target market, because the goal of the vaping industry is to convert people from smoking cigarettes to a healthier alternative, right? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, that is the advocacy effort of both the Canadian and the USA vaping industries, as far as I'm concerned. There is the profit aspect, but hey, man, businesses have to make money to keep the wheels greased. So can't fault anybody for making a profit. The Cannabis Magazine, it was really just a matter of waiting until the regulations passed and offering people everything that we could within the realm of the white and gray areas of the law. Right. Even we, though, online do have some limitations as to what we can do. Like my magazines can't pay for ads on Facebook or Instagram as well. Quantum Link can, right? So there's different services that I've come to, that I've evolved to be able to offer people. And the only reason I've learned to be able to offer those people, or I have the confidence in saying I can help you with this, is because I stepped in the pitfall. I made every I shouldn't say that I've made every single mistake. You know what I mean? But I mean, I can see them coming a long way off.
Yeah, I mean, you can learn from those, and you can give, I mean, that's valuable counsel to, you know, anyone who's going to advertise with you, to say, look, I've been here myself. I've done that. That's why I'm here to help you. Tell us about the customers for the Cannabis Nerd. I like the name. It's pretty unique. Tell us about that, you know, what that's really about and who it serves.
Well, again, because the industry, I mean, the marijuana industry is not new. Canadians and Americans have the predisposition that, you know, these are new, exploding, emerging markets. Cannabis is not a new market. It's one of the oldest markets in the world. but it's new to us. It's new to legitimate industry, or is re-emerging into legitimate industry, we should say. And again, it's that idea versus identity, and the magazines, who does it cater to? It caters to everybody. Businesses look at my magazines to read the reviews about new products that they might want to bring into their store, like dispensaries and so on. But there's a level detached there, because if it's just the product, well, then the businesses have to search to go and find where the product is. That's my playing field, where I'm like, okay, I have to find the point of sale and talk with them about coming in for an ad to promote this product that we've just displayed. Or to advertise that they sell it, so that inside that article, they can click on an ad, go straight over to the website and add it to their cart, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the other side of it, right? So anybody can come to the magazine and view it. I get business emails all the time asking about advertising or interaction on the blog. I get consumers messaging me, asking me where can they buy the product that they just saw in the magazine? Where's my store that they can buy it from? And I'm like, we don't sell products on the site, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. If there isn't a link there, I apologize. You'll have to put it into the Google search bar. But on the other side of that, the level of interaction that the magazine gives, not just for the reader, but for the advertiser as well. I mean, have you seen a magazine that you flip through and there's videos being displayed right there on the page, auto playing, you know, expanding so that you can't turn the page? If it's a paid video from an advertiser, the video comes up, plays for you, and then, it shrinks back down and you can turn the page, right? So the digital value that we're able to offer on interaction directly with the brand or with its product is really tough to match online, unless it's, you know, I see a lot of companies advertising with AdSense and having their ads on these pay-per-click banner sites. I'm not a fan of the pay-per-click. While it's, you can't argue that it's not effective, as far as getting you the audience, it's often, I equate it to like buying an email list. You know, if you were to buy 50,000 emails, you're lucky to get actually 2,000 of them to stay as subscribers on your list.
Yeah, it's like just conversion metrics. You know, in March we saw that even though we were doing the same amount of dollar spend, we saw that the clicks continued, but the conversions went way down during the pandemic. So, you know, you pay per click. If viewers don't know, PPC is pay per click. So you only pay when someone goes to your website, but that doesn't mean they're going to buy the product. So it's not effective, you know, and what I've seen over the past 9 months, 10 months is this type of interactivity and the mediums where you can create dialogues and you can create, you know, conversations around issues are way more effective at getting the word out than doing a standard pay-per-click because there's no interactivity there. And the companies end up just paying for people to come to a website without paying. So it's way better to get information out there, educate the customer, talk about how you can serve them, and then show them how they can learn more and then purchase the product. It's way more effective, and it's going to be even more so over the next, you know, ongoing, continuing on, rather than just banner ads and pay-per-click, in my opinion.
But to you know, literally backtrack our conversation, that ability to be effective in your advertising starts with identity and message.
Right.
You know, and the identity and message in a lot of cases for the businesses that I deal with, because they're so new, just emerging, that the relationship starts with helping them figure out what is their identity and what is the message that they want to send to their market.
Right? Yeah, because there's no way that you could even do a pay-per-click ad if you don't know what those keywords are, because you could say this is what they're going to be looking for. But if that's not what you supply, you know, based on volume, let's say Google Trends, if you don't have those in your messaging and it's really not what you do, you're not going to get those conversions because they may come to your site and say, this has nothing to do with what I want. I still don't understand what the company does.
Human beings are very social, very empathic, and very intuitive animals. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're so conditioned to online advertising, people get those gut or goosebump feelings. You know, you get a gut feeling for a bad one and you get goosebumps for a good one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like your body's natural intuitive sign that you're feeling good or you're feeling bad. And we're so conditioned to online banners and advertising now that people maybe even just subconsciously now are responding to those gut and goosebump feelings. And if you don't know how to give them goosebumps, you're not getting the click, right? It's
right.
You got to figure out how to make somebody feel good when they interact with what it is, right?
Yeah, and creating that emotional connection.
Correct.
Being the brand and the customer. And you can't do that as a brand if you don't even know who you are. How can you connect with the customer if you don't even know who you are, what you want to be as a cannabis company or any company for that matter?
And your brand and your brand representation is step one. Then you need to decide what the mission statement or the true vision or goal of your business is. And you can't lose sight of that, no matter what the side projects are that come along. That end, you're driving on a highway from New York to California in the middle of the night, and the only thing you can see in front of you is that 200 feet that your headlights show you. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to get to California because you know that the headlight, you know what I mean? You can't lose sight of California.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't take the advertising
all the way through. So that's, you know, that's what I equate to that. You help them with their messaging, where they're going to go. You've got the medium to do it so that they can convert customers in the end. That's the California.
Yeah, that's right. And as long as they don't lose sight of the California oranges and that great blue ocean, you know, that dream that they have, and keep that feeling about it, no matter what happens, right?
It's still there. You got to know where you're going.
That's right.
Super Bowl. So
it's still there. It's waiting for you to get there. You know, that's all it is.
tell us now how people can get a hold of the view for one, and what the addresses are, the URLs of the websites.
So it's www.canadianvapormagazine.com. Nothing coy about it. www.cannabinerdmagazine.com. They're free to view. There is age verifies at the front, but there's no subscription required to view the magazine. Yeah, I hope everybody enjoys it. Again, it's more geared towards consumers and reviews and that type of thing. But if you are a business owner and you're looking to source new products for your store, if you're a brand that's looking to reach a new audience or direct to a specific audience, and maybe you just haven't been able to target it properly. If you need website help, if your website isn't converting properly, because that's step one. If you call me for an ad and I say, your website has to convert before I'm going to take your money. Yeah. I'll take your money to fix your website before I'll take your money to advertise it for you.
It's those consultative services that are valuable. Well, yeah. Daniel, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up after that crazy trade show.
Yeah.
Good luck with everything. Let's keep talking here and really appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate the invite. I really do.
All right. Thank you.
You as well.